Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's start here. You don't get, or you don't, people's writing. You don't get meat and marry in one day. He didn't, so I guess right. Calm down. Many people confirm that he went to New U 4 months after the children were buried. You often do not have the facts. I guess he went to New U. Shit, I was saying York all this time. The four-month claim is true. Public records show Patrick moved to Manhattan in May 23 and took a job at Microsoft. Yes, and here's what the facts say. He took a job at Microsoft, and 3 years later, he got married.
Isn't it amazing? You move to a city after a horrendous event to get away from that horrendous event, and you might meet someone in that city.
You meet somebody? Oh my! This is what I don't understand about people on this whole damn thing. So he takes a new job. He's trying to restart his life after taking basically a finding himself trip overseas. It was like, oh, he went on a vacation, like he's on like some sort of like Sandals Beach or something. He was staying in hostels, so he didn't have to see families and children. And basically, I think, I don't know, if it were me, I'd be debating of whether or not I'm coming back alive.
Let's thought experiment this one. Yeah. I like experimenting with this one. So let's for the sake of this say that, all right, we think Patrick actually did this intentionally and that he's actually behind this in some way, or he actually did something because he actually had the mistress on the side, so he's actually the culprit behind her. All right. So let's say that's actually true for the sake of this thought experiment. If that was true, what would be the most advantageous testimony he could provide? Would it be the testimony that might actually at some point allow his former wife out after her therapy, potentially? Or would he paint her as a picture of someone who is a horrible mother with psychotic breaks, not with psychotic breaks all the time, that's pre-planned, she's horrendous, I did everything I could get away from her, I couldn't do it. In other words, how would he paint her? Would he paint her as a monster, or would he paint her in a picture of someone who actually needs help and be congruent with everyone else?
That's an interesting take, Robin. That kind of debunks it all right there.
What serves him? So if he did this action for himself, that means all actions would be self-serving. Yeah. So if that is the case, how is it self-serving, the testimony he gave on her behalf? It's not.
It's not.
It's her serving, not him self-serving. Yeah. So...
done. Let's go back to the relationship for a second. I don't know when they first started dating. Yes, he moved to New York 4 months later to start a new job. That is fact. And he got married 3 years later. What exactly do people want him to have done? What would have been okay by the TikTokers for him to, if he meets? Let's just say, I don't know when he met the new wife, but let's just say 4 months in, 5 months in, a year in, whatever. He's at his new job in a new city, trying to start a new life, mourn the loss and go through an incredible amount of grief that most of us, thank God, will never have to contemplate ever feeling. When is it okay for him to, if he meets someone, to let them into his life? And then maybe it does turn romantic at some point. Should he just say, no, I'm sorry, TikTokers say this is too soon. I'm desperately really want some sort of connection with a human being as I'm going through this, but TikTok says it's too much. I mean, what the...
So I'm gonna have to put on a big conjecture hat on this one because we weren't in the courtroom, but I've seen some accounts of the 911 call recently today of people that were in the courtroom actually listened and actually heard the 911 call. And I'm going to play that and I'm going to bring this in a second because to answer the question, what would it take for someone to accept that from him remarrying or finding someone in his life again, for those people... From what you have seen from him now, I don't think it would be anything because they think he's guilty no matter what. So they're always going to have data and confirmation bias for any action he takes, which is going to be against Patrick. So there's nothing that he could do or any time period or anything like that. Because if you compare and contrast the people in the courtroom and how they testified, they were looking for something more from the father that lost his children and his wife is on trial. They're looking for an emotional difference in what they saw. Now, here's my theory and conjecture on this. From what I understand, the reaction in the courtroom and the jury was to the playing of the 911 call of the blood-curdling, never heard before screams emanating from him from seeing and witnessing what he witnessed that day. That's the compelling figure and emotion they're expecting on the bench. In the witness box that they didn't see. I would theorize if more people had heard that, this theory wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
Because they actually saw the raw emotion. I think, as Siobhan said on our show when we talked about this and talked about Patrick, when people go through, I mean, seriously, think about this. Could you fully embrace that moment for the rest of your life? Are you going to go through therapy, or even if not in therapy, try to compartmentalize that and shut it out because it's too. The pain, I can't even fathom. I can't even. You know, my son's about to be deployed, and even the thought of what we've had to go through with insurance, if something happens, I mean, it's devastating, the mere thought of it. And three, one day your baby's. And your wife lost her shit. The amount of compartmentalization of the emotion you had that day to be able to function today and still live is got to be, it's got to, I can't even imagine the compartmentalization he's got to go through. So what everyone saw was not the emotion he felt that day. What everyone saw is emotion he has to try to feel now to move forward. And so you are blaming him for trying to survive. I don't think that's very just.
I don't either. I really wonder if that 911 call had been played for the world to hear, if we would be having this conversation about Patrick.
I heard of it.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Is that part of the absence? You know, because that's what people like to do, Robin. They like to fill in the blanks when they don't have the information with whatever conjecture they, you know, fits their narrative. And that's a big blank for a lot of people. And a lot of people have been taking the transcript basically of the call. We have that, but we don't have the emotion behind it. And a lot of people are taking some of the words that are said in that phone call and reading them very differently. When it comes to the line about the kids, she killed, and I apologize if I'm misinterpreting where the word F comes right in here.
Yep.
She killed the effing kids or something of that nature. Any way you put the F in there, to me, it reads about the same. And a lot of people are going, he's referring to the kids with the word effing. I wouldn't refer to my kids with the word effing in there. If I had been in that situation and my ex had done that, I probably would. Not because I'm speaking disparaging about the children, but because I'm in shock. Because what she had threatened to do, what she had talked about having weird ideations about doing for months on end, but never had a plan to do, actually was carried out. And I just got home and it was a good day. What the F just happened here? She killed the effing kids.
There'd be wobbles reported about him from friends, family, in-laws.
I just don't see how that's a weird statement on the part. I mean, it tracks to me.
Especially if you have it the context as was being described by others. It wasn't just a placid, well, you know, she killed the effing kids.
No,
it was emotional destruction happening in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, because again, do your thought experiment. and you can't because it's that's gruesome. Three babies and your wife.
Yeah. I would be, expletives would be flying in places where they don't make sense.
I just even think, this is not a performative emotion. I mean, when you think about it, you just like, you can become speechless, shockless. I mean, you're trying to express,
I might just be sitting in the corner saying F over and over. You know, I don't know that I would be making much coherent sense.
I'm with you. I would too. It's unfathomable. It's completely emotionally unfathomable. So since it's emotionally unfathomable, it's hard to imagine the emotions he would have or anyone would have.
One more.
But here's what I know they weren't. Again, 911 calls are so important. I'm good friends with a few people that actually studied them at the PhD level. And I said it before too. You know, look at 911 calls on any other case we've covered where the perpetrator is actually the one that called the 911 call. Typically, not 100%, but typically 95 to 98% of them, they are more focused on their actions, on what they were doing leading up to that, and being very descriptive. Oh my God, I just got home. I just came back from, this is hypothetically, if he was potentially not innocent, if he was guilty of this or somehow tied to this. Oh my God, I just got back from picking up our food for dinner for the kids. I left her alone. He'd be describing exactly what was going on rather than the explicative of the shock, the extreme shock he was extreming. In other words, he was in such shock of what he saw. There's no description he could cognate of anything that's going on except the trauma he's experiencing. People that have pre-planned, that have premeditation, and people that have been involved in some way are explaining their actions in it because, I know it's being recorded. I know they're going to be able to do this. So they've got to explain away my actions as my own alibi.
I was at the gym. The door was locked. I broke it down. I don't know how she was stabbed 17 times.
Ellen Greenberg, yes, we were thinking of that exactly.
Not saying he did anything. Just saying it's a little weird.
Saying your 911 call really sucked if you're innocent.
You want to hear a weird 911 call and get mad at somebody? Go take a listen to that case. Ellen Greenberg. Have fun. One more. This is another comment, and this is another interesting consensus that is gaining traction online. It stays on Patrick. I'm sorry, Patrick. We're just breaking our way through it. I think Patrick is weak. That is not a crime. If he had been stronger, he would have gotten her the help she needed. He wanted the perfect life to come back and stuck his head in the sand. He will have to live with this and must feel guilt. Peace to all concerned. So many people failed Lindsay, including Patrick. What Patrick did per testimony. Okay, here's what has actually been on the record. He called Jolotta with Lindsay on December 15th, 2022 to say it was her worst day, and she was at Mass General ER that night. On December 30th, he called South Shore Hospital to arrange McLean. She was admitted January 1st and stayed 5 days. He testified he checked in on her every morning. Jolotta testified that she raised a bipolar disorder with a couple, and Patrick said, "My wife is not bipolar." That's on the record. It's fair to weigh. And for whatever, people sometimes don't like accepting hard diagnoses. It is what it is. I would call it human. But I wouldn't call it that he wasn't there for his wife.
Well, it's not reported anywhere. That's the easiest thing on any of these things. It's easy since we have a trial here. There hasn't been any testimony by prosecution people or defense people, whether medical professionals, friends, family, in-laws, again, go down the list. There hasn't been one individual that testified that said he didn't do all he could, that he wasn't part of it, that he was unaware of these things, that he was dismissive, that he was a culprit. Yeah. Everyone said, they either said nothing or they said he did everything he could have.
There's no doctors that said, don't leave her alone. Now one could make the argument and say, maybe you should have made that call yourself. Maybe you should have erred on the side of caution and said, I'm not leaving you alone. I agree. But
sure,
again,
he says that right now to himself every day.
I'm sure every fucking second of the day he says that.
And everyone else that knows him. And think about that too. You think about, let's go back to his affect right now. So not only has to compartmentalize the horror he witnessed that day so he can live on, but the other part of it is he's got to live with that guilt.
Yeah.
And it's unfounded guilt, but it's guilt that every survivor faces. Can you imagine the survivor guilt he has, not just of the three kids, but of all this that's coming down on him, that you should have done more for your wife? How do you live with that and not compartmentalize? I don't know. Cowards take the easy way out with S.
Yeah.
I give him a lot of credit for not. It takes a lot of bravery to go on every single day right now facing these nutters out there and having to face not just nutters. You're facing the loss of your three children. You're facing the fact that he's living with survivor guilt and he's asking himself. So for all these people that are pounding on him, you think he's not doing that every day of his life to himself?
It's a good point. You know, we've talked about Lindsay a lot, and I've said many a times, I will be surprised if she's around a year from now, because unless they keep her on S watch pretty tight, which I know they certainly have leading up to this trial to make sure she gets to the trial. But I kind of theorize a little bit like, well, once the trial is done and there's not this incessant need to keep her here for the trial, and sometimes that gets a little more lax, I don't know that she's going to be around. Patrick, though, I don't think I would have made it to the trial. Honest to God, I don't know. I would have had if I had three kids, this happened. I don't know. I would have had the strength to go start a new job in 4 months. I mean, some people can, some people can't. And it's not an indictment on him. Maybe I could if I compartmentalize it. I'd be a very unhealthy person. But if that's what you got to do to live, that's what you got to do to live. I don't know that I could have done it, but I don't know that I would have made it. The fact that he's alive is kind of amazing.
It is, because here's another thing, you know, when it comes to his testimony and why he testified on behalf of her as well, because, I mean, in my own, you know, placing myself in their own situation, do you think he's blaming her or himself more?
I don't know.
I mean, because if he feels he failed her to recognize these things...
I don't know if there's a more there or if it's just a constant...
All of it. Just all of it.
Dull, horrific pain that will never go away for every day of his life. And then when he logs online right now to do anything, he's seeing his name come up, being connected with doing the most horrific thing that's ever happened to him. Yeah. And that's got to be hell. I mean, it's re-victimizing somebody, and it's really sick. It's sick. I don't know any other word for it.
I don't even have a word to describe it, because it's inhuman. What you're doing to another human being, where there's absolutely zero evidence. As a matter of fact, all the evidence is contrary to everything you're saying out of your mouth, and you're intentionally trying to inflict and incite pain against another human being. I mean, ask yourself.
I think
that.
That's the disconnect, though, Rob. I don't think people are connecting. Oh, there's a human being at the end of this. Because oftentimes
you're purposely inciting pain on them.
But oftentimes, if we're coming across on a screen to someone, we're not living. We're not human. People then feel the ability to say things they wouldn't necessarily say to someone if you're walking down the street. So I think you have that disconnect going on too.
And as much as you think you have all these great ideas, you're not smarter than all the investigators and the attorneys that handled this. I guarantee you're not. You didn't come up with some wild thing that no one thought of and that they've been working on for the last 3 years. You're not that smart. I'm sorry. I'm not that smart. And we've been covering this. No, I don't know anyone that's smart. And it hasn't to do with smarter or intelligent or not. You just don't have the same access to the raw data and information that they do. So shush.
Well, here's a thought, though. And I guess why do some people feel empowered that they do feel like they believe that they have this sort of information? Because in completely unrelated cases, there are times where the person sitting at home does know what the hell's going on better than what an investigation says. But then they're judging all cases by that prism. And by that investigation, and every single one is different. It's all confirmation biases all coming through. And then there's a lot of projection going on too in this one, which makes it the lovely cornucopia of chaos that it is.
You know, as everyone knows, I read a lot, and there's a great book out there called The Courage to Be Disliked. Hmm. And in the book, The Courage to Be Disliked, they tackle one of the hardest things each of us has as a human being. And that is the realization that you're just average. You're not You're not special. You don't have a special thought or idea or anything else. You know what? In the span of the people existing on this planet today and throughout the history of our species, sorry to say, you are just average. And to think that you actually came up with some wild-ass theory that makes you special, no. We're all just average. We're all just doing the best we can, trying to support each other, trying to figure things out, trying to make the world a better place. But in reality, no matter how hard each of us does this, Tony, me, my wife, my amazing kids, who I think are more than average, but you know what? In reality, I think they're above average. They're excellent. But in reality of life and the span of our species, no, we're all just pretty damn average. So get over yourself.
Nobody's special. That's the message today from
Robin. Special today. Sorry. No one's special today.
That's Robin's new book. Nobody's special.
Nobody's special. The follow up to It's Not All About Me is Nobody's Special.
Can you tell a theme here?
With a foreword by Fred Rogers.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but you know you're not special.
This is like the most down thing you've ever said.
But it's a reality check. It's true. Really, it's my daily reality. You know, it's a great book, but it's also a great message to remind yourself, don't, and this is the theme of it, don't fall in love with your own voice.
It's true. I had that basically mentally beat into me growing up. I think I spent most of my adult life trying to go, maybe I'm a little special. Maybe I...
Don't tell your mothers. Your mothers say no matter what, you are special.
But I can tell you, my upbringing was the opposite of you're special. It's you're pretty average. There's nothing special.
I think it was Dave McCullough's son, and I can't remember his name. Dave McCullough, the great history writer that wrote the book 1776, Benjamin Franklin. No, not Benjamin Franklin. That was another great author. Truman. John Adams, I mean, great history writer of American history. It was his son that got up at the high school graduation, or it might have even been college graduation. No, I think it's high school graduation. And he actually went through the stats of everyone graduating that day, of all the valedictorians across the country, of all the great things all you did. And he said, you know what? As special as everyone's saying you are today, you're all just average.
I love it.
So get a grip on reality, folks, and ask yourself, is what I'm about to say going to help or hinder someone else in their path and their journey? And are you causing pain or comfort in someone else? And do you really need to say that? And are you being a me-former or an informer?
It's a good filter to run anything through before it hits the comments section.
We'll try.
So think of that before you drop them in there. Links are in the description. Substack, YouTube, go check them out. Robin's latest book, it's this one right here. It's Not All About Me. Go check it out. Amazon, leave a review. Until next time, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.